from our Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised to come again in glory to take us to be with him. Grace and peace to you. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, we'll be following the Word of God as it's recorded for us in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I share with you just the opening verse again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it had been 2 weeks since the surgery. No reports had been given, no phone calls made. But now it was for the follow-up. And we were told that the test results would be available to us then. So my wife and I got onto the elevator going to the office, and just before the doors closed, another person came on. It was the doctor. Well, good morning, and we greeted him and everything, and it was all small talk, but it didn't sound like the small talk that we were hoping for, where he's going to tell us all kinds of things, and that added a little pressure. I mean, waiting for 2 weeks was long enough, wasn't it? To find out what the results of the tests would be, is the cancer gone or isn't it? And so we kind of went on. He went his way, we went ours into the lobby and then eventually into the examination room. We met with the physician's assistant, and she too made kind of small talk. Sounded like she had some good news, but weren't sure. She was kind of hesitant to tell us too much. And then, well, we had the appointment, and the doctor opens the door just briefly and says, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to keep you waiting just a little longer. I'll be right back, but I've got good news for you. Oh, that's what we were waiting for. For 2 weeks, we were waiting for someone to say, I've got good news for you. And when he eventually came back into the office, he had good news. As far as he was concerned, all the cancer was gone. And all that would be left is to maybe do some follow-up treatments to make sure it was totally eradicated. There was no cancer elsewhere in the lymph nodes or anything else. And, oh, that was good news. You could feel the pressure lifting. You knew God was always in control, but there's still this gnawing in the back of your mind, what if and what about? And so after the appointment was there, I'll admit, when we got back into the elevator, I did a little happy dance. I told my wife I would give a happy dance if this happened, and it was there. It was time to rejoice. It was time to be glad for God's goodness. Good news will do that, you know. Good news will bring about in us more than just a joy, more than just a happy dance. It brings about a way of life when we can put everything else into perspective. All the joys we hope for, all the things that we look for, and all those things that kind of draw us down, they're all put in perspective when we hear the good news. And you know what's really exciting for me today? I have good news to tell you. Yes, good news that'll lead you to rejoice. Good news that'll bring you a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Let me tell you the good news. It's the same good news that the Apostle Paul enjoyed. Here is the Apostle Paul in prison, writing to the Philippians, and all he can say is, what? Rejoice in the Lord, always. For him, his always was being in prison right now. And he says, oh, I got to rejoice in the Lord always. I got to rejoice. And I'm going to tell you again, he wanted to emphasize it. I'll tell you again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Here was the Apostle Paul. If anyone knew grace, if anyone knew mercy, if anyone knew of the forgiveness of sins, wouldn't it be the Apostle Paul? The one who, thinking he was serving the Lord, persecuted the followers of the way, persecuted Christians, arresting them, maybe even having them put to death. Here is the one who fought against God. Here is the one who knew what it was when God says, why do you persecute me? Who also knew as the Lord touched his heart and turned him to be the great Apostle Paul. Yes, he knew what it was, and he said, even in prison, I can rejoice. Why? Because I know what God has done, and I know that as he comes soon, I have nothing to fear. Rejoice, he says, always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. Important thing for us to think about. As we take a look at the good news of the gospel, as we take a look at why Christ came, we can say, and God is near. We don't have to worry about his coming again in glory. We don't have to be concerned about what is called judgment day. For we know the judgment has already been paid in full. It was paid for us on a cross, given to us as a free gift of his grace. And what's left for us but to rejoice? To let our gentleness, he says. It's a unique word here in the Greek. It's gentleness. It's a concern. It's a wonderful term that says, let it be evident that worries are gone. Let it be evident that you have a concern for others, a comfort to share, because we have good news, don't we? Because you know that message of grace, that message of good news wasn't just for the Apostle Paul. It was for you, and it was for me. It was for each of us who, because of our sinful nature, were enemies of God, separate from him, and would have every reason to fear his presence, to fear his coming. And yet, the good news is this. God sent his Son for all. For you, for me, for Paul, for all the people of this world. He sent his Son to take away our sin, to pay the wages of sin, which is death, and to do it for you and me. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? And we take a look at all the things that we worry about in this life, of all the things that cause us grief and sorrow and sadness. How does that measure up to the joy that God gives to you and me, to the good news? We think about how many things are being worried about even now. All the preparations we have to make, because there's all sorts of gatherings to plan for. There's all sorts of events to attend. There's all sorts of things to do. Are we ever going to get it done? Is the to-do list ever going to get finished? Probably not. But that'll be okay too. It's okay because we have the opportunity to rejoice in the good news of salvation. Very often, as we prepare our hearts for Christmas and its celebration, there are certain traditions that we follow. There's ornaments we put up and lights that we use to decorate our homes and our trees. There's gifts to be gotten and then also to be wrapped. And all everything is just to be so perfect and so beautiful. And as we worry about all these things, it adds stress, doesn't it? Some have said, and the studies have proven, that one of the highest times of stress is through the holidays, is through Christmas. Why would there be stress at a time when there should be nothing but rejoicing? Because Satan likes to distract from us the joy that's ours. He doesn't want us to hear the good news. He wants us to worry about all the things that go with it. There's nothing to worry. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He says, you know what? Don't be anxious about all the things that are around the idea of Christmas. Don't be anxious about all the to-dos that are yet to be done. Don't be anxious about sin, about sadness, about heartache, about pain. Don't be anxious even about illnesses and diseases and surgeries, and even COVID. Don't be anxious about that when you know what God has done. When we have the good news and it's ours, we can all do a little happy dance because God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son. God made a difference in our life that will never be equaled or matched. He gave us salvation. He gave to you and me the peace of mind that we are loved by the Most High and we are his children. What a gift. What good news. It doesn't get any better than that. And I can say that full well and confidently. It doesn't get any better than God loves you. God forgives you. God will bring you to glory. Are you prepared for that type of joy? Or are we so tied to the things of this world that Christ coming in glory is something we'd rather put off? We'd rather not happen right now. Oh, I've got too much to do. Instead of just praying, come Lord Jesus. So Paul was writing here. Don't be anxious about anything. Again, he's in prison. He doesn't know what tomorrow will bring for him. He doesn't know what his future really holds, except the fact that he knows that God holds his future as he holds yours in his wonderful hands. Hands marked by nails. The marks of love for you and me. Oh yeah, let's rejoice. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. Because he has brought us this joy that is ours. He leads you to rejoice. And what that good news he gives you also brings you about a peace that only God can give. These are difficult times right now. They're difficult times, not just because of pandemics, but yes, we also know of the rumors of war that are going about. Armies being built up on nations' borders, looking to possibly go to war, looking to possibly take over other countries. It's daily in the news. We hear of shootings. We hear of crime. We hear of people just rushing into stores and taking everything out and doing this in a flash mob style. We hear of all the sadness that is out there. The loss of life and the loss of civility. The loss of even the comfort of knowing of a safe place. Schools should be safe places, shouldn't they? But yet some fear to go there because it's not a safe place anymore. And he says, don't be anxious about such things. The Apostle Paul derives for us, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but what? Take it to God in prayer. Take it to God in prayer with petitions, requests. Come to him with thanksgiving and present your requests to God. And you know what's special about being able to go to God with those requests? He can answer them. I know there's going to be a lot of children asking mom and dad for certain gifts at Christmas time. Certain gifts which maybe they can't get because of, well, there's this supply chain problem, right? Gifts they maybe can't afford to get for them right now. Gifts that they would like to get, but there's too many other bills elsewhere and they can't do those type of things. But we can go to God with our every request, for every concern about health, our every concern about life and prosperity and the economy, our every prayer for peace. And know that the Almighty, the Creator of all things, has the power and has the desire not only to hear our prayers, but to answer them as well. What joy is there in such good news that we have this Lord to come to, and come to not as outsiders, not as strangers, but as his children who can come to him and call him Father. Oh, what a blessing we have to look forward to. A blessing that really lets us know what's truly important at this time. The real important thing is to think about glory, to think about heaven, to think about what God has done to make sure that we can be assured that is ours. The gift of life everlasting, God's gift to you and me. That's good news. It's good news which brings about, well, what does Paul write? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. To guard, to keep safe. That's what the Lord does for us. If God is in charge, with God watching over us, let me ask, what do we have to worry about? What do we have to concern ourselves with if God is in charge watching over us? And he says, he, that peace that transcends all understanding, that we'll never understand, we can't understand that love, we can't really appreciate the greatness of that love, that brings us the peace, he says, that'll guard your hearts. It'll keep the bad news from dragging us down from pulling us down to worry and concern, to be anxious and wondering what tomorrow will bring. Oh, no. He says, oh, no, this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Advent is a time of preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus in glory. It's a time where we get our minds set a little bit on God fulfilling His promise to send His Son. And in fulfilling that promise, what did He do? He gives us peace. We can rejoice in that peace. We can rejoice in that peace because God has given us that directive. Paul wrote it, rejoice. And again, I'll tell you, rejoice. Because we have been given good news. The good news of salvation. And like anything good, like all good news, isn't it something we want to tell somebody else about? Oh, I'll tell you what. We called a few of our family members when we got the good news. We let other people know. We did our little happy dance. Because the good news, well, for us it was for this life. The better good news is life eternal, which God has given to you. May we rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's coming. That's good news. He's coming for all of us. That's good news. He's coming to take us to life everlasting. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more pain. That's good news. It's your good news. Rejoice always, no matter the situation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which truly transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds guarded by Him in Christ Jesus. Amen.